Stu Epperson here, and welcome to the Truth Talk with Stu Epperson podcast. What a treat it was, and what a hoot to be able to sit down with one of the most controversial Christians in America, Jerry Falwell Jr. You're about to hear the whole uncensored interview with Jerry Jr. that we did recently on the campus of Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia. Please share this with your friends. Please let everyone know about our Truth Network podcast so you can be encouraged and hear good content and share the good news of Jesus wherever you go today. That's why we're here. Now, here's the podcast. Here's the interview we did with the most controversial Christian in America, Jerry Falwell Jr.
This is the Truth Network.
I am sitting next to the most controversial Christian in America. He is Jerry Falwell Jr. I'm actually on the campus. Where am I? Jerry Falwell Jr., what am I looking at? Tell everyone where we are, sir.
We're on the north end of campus. This is the administrative building. It's a million square feet. But the campus where the students are is just south of here. And it's a campus built for 15,500 residential students. And it's been kind of quiet since COVID. We only had about 1,200 come back after spring break, but we had no cases, and everything worked beautifully.
Okay, so all these other schools and entities and people were closing down. Here comes this COVID, this pandemic. Liberty University says, come back, come to class. What is going on with that? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, we didn't say come to class. We did go online with classes because the governor here said you couldn't have gatherings of more than 10 people. So we went online, which we've been a pioneer in online since 1976, really. And so we were perfectly poised to take it online and had no complaints. Everybody, it was seamless. But there were about 1,200 students who either had elderly relatives at home who didn't have high-speed internet at home, or who were international students who had nowhere else to go. So we let them come back, live on campus. We did social distancing. We did takeout food. This was during the worst part of the pandemic. And we got accused by the New York Times of having 12 cases on campus. It was a complete lie. And we're suing them next week. It's going to be fun.
Okay, wow. So all kinds of folks. And this is what's fascinating. I want everyone to listen. Whatever you feel about Liberty University, the Falwell family legacy, this is awesome to talk to this man. And a little inside information here. My granddad put your dad on the radio decades ago. And so somehow or another, now don't hold that against him and don't hold that against me, but somehow or another, our paths have inextricably crossed it over the years. And it's quite a fascinating legacy, isn't it?
It really is. And I didn't realize it was your granddad. I thought it was your dad.
Well, Dad had his hand in it, but it was my dad's dad who really started that station, and he says, we got to get good preachers on here, preachers of the Word of God, who are going to cast the net and invite people to Christ, and this preacher's going door to door, and saying he's starting a church and maybe a university, and God's working his God's hands on him.
And your granddad's first name was
Harry.
Harry, okay, all right. Well, yeah, it was WBRG, 1050, Lynchburg, Virginia. My dad was still living at home. He didn't get married till 1958. He was born in 33. But he actually started the church in 56. So between 56 and 58, he actually did that radio program from his home, his parents' mom's home. And my dad's twin brother still lives in that house just on the other side of Liberty Mountain. But he did it. He'd get up early in the morning, do the radio show in his underwear, and he was a pioneer like your ancestors were in the most modern technology of the time. And that's how he built this place: TV, broadcasting, radio. Back when it was novel and new, and then we've taken it to the next level using the most modern technology with online education. So it's just sort of it's always been our niche.
It is something. Yeah, my a lot of Eppersons were involved in all that. My granddad Harry Epperson, who's with the Lord, my uncle Ralph, who's kind of the uncle that got us all really serious about it and probably trained my granddad, right. And then my uncle Ralph and Uncle Arnold with the Lord, And then my dad, now my the irony of it, the only brother who wasn't in radio was Uncle Roy. He was a farmer. He was like a huge farmer in Southwest Virginia, Ararat, Virginia, okay, near Mount Airy, North Carolina. But his son, Brent, is the current general manager and operator of WBRG now.
Wow.
So the only one that wasn't in radio, his son is running the station that where it all started, you know. And so, but my dad is still, Dad, Big Stu is a big fan of yours, and we've been a big fan of the preaching the gospel that's happened here. But talk about that. I mean, when you were a little guy, seeing your dad on the radio, hearing your dad on the radio, seeing your dad on TV, did you ever think you'd be sitting in this chair in this beautiful conference room overlooking a beautiful campus and that how all that God's done here? I mean, tell us, kind of take us back and backwards and forwards.
Absolutely. I knew something big was going to happen because I traveled with my dad from a very early age, like, oh my gosh, probably 5 years old, 6 years old. I started traveling with him all the time. And I would cry if I didn't get to go with him. I wanted to be with him. I didn't want to be at home. Mm-hmm. And so when I got a little older, we would travel in a World War II DC-3 with college students, going from city auditorium to city auditorium, spreading the word about the new college here. We like the movie Almost Famous. That's kind of how I grew up. If you ever watch that movie, it's an old movie, but it was a rock band traveling around, but it was very similar because we'd be in a city auditorium. The next night, Led Zeppelin would be there in different places. And so it was just the way I grew up. And I would be the one in charge of selling records and books in the back. And at a very young age in California, I remember I was 7 years old and I had sold so many records and books. I had money stuck in my socks, money stuck in my shirt, in my pockets, and I kept pulling it out all over, giving it to Dad. And that's just how I grew up. It was so successful in the early days that I saw a sense of destiny. And I just knew, even though we went through lots of tough years after that, when I became a lawyer, we barely survived financially for 20 years. But I just always knew that there was something special about this place.
Wow. And this word comes to my mind, vision. I'd love for you to talk to people out there about, you know, your dad used to say, I used to hear him say it when I was a little guy, and he'd say, we're going to play Division I football. We're going to play Notre Dame. We're going to beat them. I mean, he would make these audacious claims, and back then it was just a small little campus, well, and there's barely a dorm, and look at what's happened.
Well, see, he came from a family of very successful business people, and in 1931, some family tragedies resulted in him not going into the family business. He actually wasn't even born then, but his father died when he was 15. So instead of going into the family business, he became a Christian and went to Bible college. But he took that business entrepreneurial spirit into his church, and the first 15 years it grew from nothing to way thousands of members in a national television program. And that sort of is what gave him the confidence and the vision that something huge could happen here. And so the reason he was confident through all those tough years, and the reason I was, is because we had seen what had happened so miraculously in the first 10, 15 years.
Wow. And so now, years later, in this modern era, in 2020, and you may hear this program in 2021 or 2022, we play the hits. Brother Falwell, we play the big shows, you know, on repeat, you know, as best of. So who knows when you'll hear this, but tell everyone what's going on now. I mean, how many students online all over the world, and the size, the scope, the acreage. You guys, Lynchburg, by the way, you may not like Liberty, and you may hear bad things about Liberty from news outlets out there that are disparaging the school. But if you go to Lynchburg, Virginia, people are hiring your grads. I mean, there's a great positive vibe about you guys here.
My wife was telling me today that she ran into a lady at clothing store a few days ago, and she talked about how when she ran a local restaurant, they hired 90% Liberty students because of the work ethic, because they don't feel entitled to. She said whenever she didn't hire a Liberty student, the kids from other schools would be the first ones to want to get off early and want to make, you know, thought they were worth more money than they were. And so that's what we hear from employers, from a local hospital, from everywhere our students work, is that they want to serve and prove themselves. They don't feel entitled, and And we're proud of that. That's the kind of students we've been able to attract, and that's the ones we always want to attract.
Wow. What about a Christian university? What about a Christian worldview? What's at stake? I guess it has everything to do with how a young person thinks, where they get educated. Is that right?
Well, you know, I think the state of higher education is the reason why liberty has exploded in the last 15 years. We turned the corner just before my dad died in 2007. And so he got to see Hobby Lobby donated the building we're in right now. And that he saw it turn the corner, but he didn't live long enough to see it go from zero endowment to $2 billion now, wow, unrestricted. We're like number 15 in the country as far as unrestricted endowment. And it's the only ones ahead of us are the Harvard, the Yales, the Stanfords, you know, those schools. But it's because higher education is so, I don't want to use the word corrupt, but it's just so, it's indoctrination camps, and and they're turning out, they don't make their students their first priority. They make their research, their careers, they put their best professors are off in Sweden researching some kind of butterfly or something. But we have our best professors in the classroom, and we keep prices low. We've kept it in the lowest 25% of all private schools with tuition, online and resident. And we're up over 100 and we spent, after the $2 billion endowment we built since he died, we've spent $1.6 billion on campus, and we're up to 108,000 students this year online, 15,500 resident, and the 108 online is, our previous record was 98,000 in 2014. So it's just exploding.
Some big numbers. We're going to come back after a quick break, and I'm going to talk more to the most controversial Christian in America. Mm-hmm. And I think he wears that with a badge of honor, attracting all kinds of heat and all kinds of praise and who knows what. But Jerry Falwell Jr. sharing his heart. It's so neat to sit down with you, sir, and actually get you to tell your story and let people listen. He's going to tell you his vision and where he sees God moving America. What about the future? It's chaos right now. And he's also going to tell you why he thinks your youngster should come to Liberty University, of all places, here in Lynchburg, Virginia, when we come back. Don't touch that dial. More Truth Talk with Stu Epperson right after this. I want to say a special thank you to a wonderful partner helping us advance the message of this program, of the gospel. And the thank you goes out to MyPillow.com. Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO, has now opened his heart to say thank you as well. He wants to give you the opportunity to do what I've done. I've slept on this pillow. I love MyPillow. I sleep better. What would you give for a good night's sleep? Right now, for the first time, you can get deep discounts on all the MyPillow products. I'm talking about the MyPillows, the mattress toppers, the bed sheets, and the body pillow. All their products right now, all you got to do is go to MyPillow.com and click on the new radio listener specials. MyPillow.com, click on the new radio listener specials, and you'll save big. You won't believe the savings. Just enter promo code TRUTH when you get there. All these products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. You can also call this toll-free number, 800-944-5396. Thank you, MyPillow, for partnering with us to advance the good news of the gospel. And thank you to all you guys that have checked them out and supported our sponsors.
When you hear the name Jerry Falwell, what comes to mind? When you hear the Falwell name, well, I'm sitting next to a Falwell, Jerry Falwell Jr. By the way, there's a lot of Falwells, and that's, quite frankly, a lot of folks misunderstand that. I say, hey, Jerry Falwell Jr., I told someone, hey, I'm going to go interview him on my national radio show. I'm Stu Epperson. This is Truth Talk. And they say, oh, yeah, he's the pastor of Thomas Road, that big Baptist church, and, you know, old-time gospel hour, you know. And I'm like, no. There's two brothers. Tell a little bit about how you got here. And you talked in the last segment about, you know, traveling with your dad and just kind of how you learned it in law school and a lot of tough hurdles to climb, you know, as God brought you through these mountains to Liberty Mountain. But Jerry Falwell Jr., now you have a brother. Talk about the dynamics, the pastor in the family, the businessman, a president of college, you know, the university, et cetera.
Yeah. Thomas Road Baptist Church is a local church. My father started it in 1956. He didn't start Liberty till 1971. Mm-hmm. But Thomas Road Baptist Church is and always will be a local church in Lynchburg, Virginia. And when my father started getting older, in the 2000, he died in 2007. He started adding to every sermon and speech that that he really thought that my brother should be the pastor of the church, because he and I couldn't be more different, and that's why he and I get along so well, is because we complement each other. We're nothing alike. And he told all the crowds, he said, Jerry understands the business of the school. He can run it. He can grow it. And so he made it clear to everybody that's what he wanted to see happen. Well, the board agreed with him, and the church board of deacons agreed with him on my brother. And so, you know, the school, that was what I was talking about earlier. It's when the school really started to explode in growth. It was about 2007. And the church has continued to do well, and it's there's not a big national television network like there used to be, because back when my father had the Old Time Gospel Hour, there were three networks, so you had three choices on Sunday morning. But now there's probably 350 choices. I don't know. So.
Well, and you don't know this. I was on live radio during the service. And my dad, Big Stu, was at your dad's celebration service. Mm-hmm. He'd just gone to heaven. And my dad was grabbing guys coming out. Mm-hmm. He said, oh, look, there's Tony Evans. There's Elmer Towns. And he would put them on national radio with me. And we were talking about celebrating the life of Jerry Falwell, right? And you guys were there and were amazing. And you know, I can't get into those kind of things. It had Mr. Big Stu. You know, he's that's why he's Big Stu. I'm Little Stu. But a lot of people thought, oh, this is the end. You know, Jerry, the leader, you know, the whole, you know, the founder's dilemma is a very famous Harvard business article. Yeah. And you think, well, once he goes, what's going to happen? And but look at what God's done, and how, and most families are fighting over the estate and arguing and trying to snatch every crumb off the table, and they hate each other. But there's been a real harmony in the Falwell family. God's done something here.
Well, I think really what held the school back a little bit before his death is because of that fear of what would happen when he died, because he was such a charismatic personality. But then when they saw, it's first thing that happened, his life insurance paid the school's debt off. Then after that, big gifts started coming in, and we started publicizing what was happening here. And then all of a sudden, everybody was like, whoa, this place is going to be a fine, with or without the founder. Then it exploded, you know. And so, you know, I'm not taking credit for it, but I'm just saying people realized it wasn't about a personality or a person. It was providential.
Mm. Yeah. Wow. It's been neat to watch that played out. And a lot of folks, of course, have been praying for you. And a lot of Liberty grads out there saying, what's going to happen to our school? So let's go back to a hot potato here.
Yeah.
Donald Trump. You say his name. Now, you can say Jerry Falwell's name, and, you know, you can get mixed, you know. But Donald Trump, a lot of folks, you know, get weirded out, and they're like, you were one of the first evangelical leaders. That's why I opened the show now, folks. Now, you know, in my defense, I opened the show. This is the most controversial Christian in America. Here he is. I'm sitting next to him. But you got behind Donald Trump in the election, and your dad was always vocal. Your dad was founder of the Moral Majority, you know, and amazing what he did for pro-life and wearing those little baby feet, which I still have one. I wear it, you know, from time to time. Just amazing. And what you've done to love the moms and start these houses for moms that people, you know, people don't realize how much you've done. But talk about the Christians' involvement in politics and maybe the heat you've gotten for, you know, going out and supporting vocally a presidential candidate. And how do you navigate that as a believer, but also as a citizen of the United States?
Well, I just started noticing that the Republicans who courted the evangelical vote were not sincere. And they were, for my whole life, they promised one thing, and then when they got in office, they'd do something else. Mm-hmm. They're part of the establishment. I tweeted today, or yesterday, I don't remember which, that Obama, Clinton, Bush, and Romney are all part of the same club. And Trump's the only two that really have stood out, two presidents during my lifetime, as not part of the establishment, have been Jimmy Carter and Donald Trump.
Mm, wow. Okay.
And so Jimmy Carter, we didn't agree much with anything. We don't agree with hardly anything on politics, but we had him speak here at commencement. But he's the most genuine. He's a solid Christian. Trump is he's the average American's president, just like Jimmy Carter was. And you know, even though Jimmy Carter had the wrong political philosophy, in my opinion, those are the only two presidents that have been, in my opinion, the people's presidents.
Yeah. Now, what would you say? And again, that's what I love about Truth Talk is people.
Yeah. I mean, Reagan. Reagan was close, but okay. But he's still not in the same league as Donald Trump. Sorry.
Well, and we don't drive the political issues hard on this show. Obviously, we talk about the issues of marriage and, you know, things like that. But it's important that Christians vote. How would you challenge people to at least think about it, you know, as someone who's been quite vocal?
I've always, like, focused on the Gospels and what Jesus taught. And he was very clear, you know, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, unto God that which is God's. In other words, treat your neighbor as yourself. That's rendering unto God. And be a good citizen. That means if you work for a corporation, you do what's in the best interest of the corporation. If you work for the government, or if you're an elected official, you do what's in the best interest of whatever government division that you're in charge of. And Jesus was very clear. He was very careful not to take sides on whether there should be a big welfare state or there shouldn't. He just said, "You guys, you figure that out for yourself. That's Caesar's world," referring to the kingdoms of this earth. And so I think every answer you need are in the four Gospels.
All right. He is Jerry Falwell, Jr., president of Liberty University and the new Falkirk Center as well, which is a big, big deal here. Everyone's talking about. What is your perspective on the future of America? This is a heavy question. A lot of hearts. There's been riots. There's been a racial inflammation in our country. People upset. There's been this COVID, this pandemic, which is exposing us, you know, probably more than we've exposed it, you know, just to, you know, to all the people are angry and people are on the edge. There's an election coming up here not long from now. What's your prayer for the country? What's your vision as you look out there?
Well, first of all, I don't believe the polls, just like I didn't believe them in 2016. And I saw where the people who support Trump are extremely excited about him. The people who are supporting Biden are not excited at all about him. And I think when those two men get on the stage together, I think people are going to say, we can't like somebody that doesn't know what day it is. You know, it's just, I hate to be rude, but it's just a fact. And when they look at Trump's record, and they look at what he's got planned for the next 4 years, I think, you know, I think he could win and keep the Senate and the Republican side. I just think if it goes the other way, it's not going to be pretty. Yeah. And then I don't want to predict doom and gloom, but we could see a lot worse riots than what we're seeing now. Yeah.
One thing your dad talked a lot about is how Christians seem to be in the crosshairs. Christian seems to be the one that attack. There's an attack, big government taking away freedoms, the freedom to preach the gospel, the freedom to teach the Bible like you do at this university, at Liberty University. How important is that, the freedom of speech, you know, the freedom to broadcast this program? Maybe they'll take Truth Talk. You know, as long as Truth Talk was Stu Epperson's on the air, I'm going to say that Jesus is the only way, and I'm going to point people to him and tell people the truth about what marriage is in heaven and hell, but that may be hate speech one day. What's your challenge about standing up strong even when the culture and the tide, the media are dead against you?
Well, I think you're right. I think they'll keep looking for ways to attack. Now, I separate religion and Christianity. I think organized religion is a good thing. It's a great charitable thing. But I think you can be as religious as anybody in the world, but not be a true Christian,
yeah, sure.
And not in the way you treat other people. So, but I think that religion is a threat to authoritarians and the liberals, what we used to call liberals, who said, well, I might not agree with you, but I'll die for your right to say it. They've become authoritarians. They've become like Nazis. Wow. And they don't want anybody to say anything they don't agree with. And so religion is a big threat to them because it's people voluntarily getting together, having discussions, doing projects with no government involvement whatsoever. That's a threat to them. And so I think they'll keep attacking religion. It's harder for them to attack Christianity because Christianity is in the heart. It's you know, it's why it's survived in house churches in China and so many things. But I think I think they'll keep coming after any religious organization and look for ways to stab us in the back. And I'm not going down without a fight.
Okay. What about in terms of shifting gears to young people out there thinking about Christian college versus secular college? I mean, I've heard you say, and last time I was up here with my dad, we were talking that you really need to think about who you're going to go learn from, because that's going to impact the way you think the rest of your life. My daughter Faith is here with me, and why? And there's a lot of good Christian colleges. We just happen to be on the campus of the biggest one, I believe, you know, in America, maybe in the world. Liberty University is where I am. I'm sitting next to Jerry Falwell Jr., the president, the most controversial Christian in America, talking to him. Why this kind of education, with all the secular schools and all the, and so many Christian parents don't even think about a Christian college for their kids. They just think, well, I went there, then my kid's going to go there. But why here, and what's going to be different about a kid that graduates with a Liberty degree versus your typical secular college? Not that it's a sin to go to a secular college, but why Liberty?
I think, first of all, we attract students who are Christ-like. They treat others like they want to be treated. They have a work ethic. They don't feel entitled. But they also are learning what Jesus taught in the Gospels, and that is, when Jesus said, help the poor, he didn't say, vote for somebody who's going to take money from your neighbor to give to the poor. He wasn't supporting socialism. Yeah. When he said, turn the other cheek, wow. he wasn't saying that a Roman soldier in his day should go to battle and turn the other cheek. Mm. We got to realize we have two different roles, and that's what we're trying to teach these young people. And but we want them to stay humble and to serve others, and they do that in a huge way, hundreds of thousands of hours every year. And but the main thing is our professors, while they're generally conservative, if a liberal kid speaks up in class and says things that the professor and most of the kids don't agree with, they're not ridiculed. It's college. You're supposed to be able to discuss any idea. And that's what most colleges used to be like. But now, a conservative kid in most mainstream universities, if he speaks up in class, he'll be laughed at, ridiculed, shouted down. They finally get to the point where they just say what the professor wants them to say so they get a good grade. And it's that's not what college is supposed to be about. It's supposed to be about free expression, academic freedom. Liberty is one of the few left that offers everything we offer: world-class academics, world-class NCAA Division I sports, medical school, law school, but still has academic freedom.
Yeah, and I tell you whatever you feel or opinion you have about Liberty, you got to come to the campus. My daughter Faith, first time I meet, I think I brought her up here when she was wee little, but her first time, when Team Truth played Liberty in the Vine Center, and I was a starting small forward, and we lost to the Flames, but we fought hard. I hit a baseline jumper. But it was Rusty LaRue who, you know, went on to play in the with Jordan in The Last Dance. Okay, he played, and your dad came down to the locker room after the game and prayed with our team. It was I still have a picture of it. Oh, wow. I have to show it to you sometime. Okay. Maybe when you're in Winston, and it's in my office. But this campus, every time I come here, there's a new building. I'll say, hey, there's a medical school. Hey, there's so there's a movement here. There's a growth here, and people. Your invitation is just come check out what's going on.
Absolutely. I mean, our success is because of everyone else's failure as far as in higher education. They're doing all the colleges are going the same direction, political correctness, and all we're doing is just being like colleges used to be. And so we end up being the choice, and enrollment just keeps soaring, and we're not going to change. We're just going to keep doing what we're doing. It seemed like the more controversial I am and the more I make the liberals mad, the more students we get.
And you stayed open during the COVID crisis, or at least the campus did, and no one got it. And but you've been smart and you've been careful. But there's a whole lot going here. And the vision of your dad to reach the world, to change the world for Christ, what would you say one thing your dad told you coming up? I don't care if you were a spry little guy or you were college age or even closer to when he went to heaven. What's one thing you can think of that you'll leave with our listeners that he told you, he said to you, that Jerry Sr. said to Jerry Jr. that stuck with you, maybe that you feel like has been something that's carried you to where you are today?
Very simple. It's on his gravesite. It says, never quit. He picked that up from Winston Churchill. When Winston Churchill gave the commencement address, I think at Oxford or Cambridge, after World War II. That's the only thing he said his whole commencement speech. Never give up. Never, never give up.
Wow.
So that's the key.
Man. Maybe your enrollment's going up because so many people say, hey, don't go there. Don't go there. Don't ever go there. Go learn from the pagans. You know, Vodi Bakum said this fascinating quote. He said, why do we send our kids, you know, to Rome, and we're shocked they come back as Romans?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's dangerous to send your young daughter or son to most schools nowadays. They come back with crazy ideas, and that's what we're seeing in the streets now. What they learned on campus is what they're carrying out, the riots, the anarchy. That's what they were taught, and it's stuck. And they're not going to learn that here. But to follow up on that never give up quote, my father would also say, a man's greatness is not determined by his talent or his wealth, but rather by what it takes to discourage him.
Wow. What it takes to discourage him.
So that's the key to liberty success.
So Jerry Falwell Jr., whoever God puts in here when you go on to heaven one day, many years from now, whenever that is, what's on your tombstone or what would be your... what would be kind of your epitaph? What is the legacy piece for you, or what you would like to say? You know, and this, we're not holding you to this, okay? This is, this is one of the higher rated, you know, radio programs in the world here, Truth Talk. I'm just kidding. But what is it you like to pass along in that same vein, that same spirit?
Well, my father was a pioneer. He started from scratch. He was willing to go deep in debt, take huge risks. Mm-hmm. Nobody else could have built it from scratch. I went to law school. I was a little more conservative. I don't think he could have taken it the second generation. In other words, it took two generations with different gifts to get us where we are. He would still be betting the farm every week, and you can't do that when you get to a certain level. And so, I'm just proud that I was one of those, played a key role in one of those two generations that God used to build this place.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, you've heard from him, Jerry Falwell Jr. Make up your own mind, but we've just interviewed the most controversial Christian in America on Truth Talk with Stu Epperson. Follow me on Twitter, Facebook. Follow him. He's got a lot more followers than I do. But we're both on Instagram, so we might have to put a picture. I might put the last one we took with Big Stu right there by your emblem there. We'll have to put that on the gram to share when we you know, throw this. This will also be a podcast, so download our podcast and listen and encourage people, whatever they do, to think about Jesus Christ and the gospel. That's the quintessential issue, isn't it?
Absolutely, 100%. I mean, it's the most false religions come from a misinterpretation of parts of the New Testament that were not the Gospels. Mm-hmm. And so I think the rest of the New Testament after the four Gospels, you have to interpret in the context of what Jesus said. And that's how you keep it true religion, true Christianity. And so that's what we're trying to teach here at Liberty. And it's any debate, any argument I get in with any liberal about, all you got to do is quote Jesus, and you win.
Yeah. And go somewhere where they teach you the framework so you can look at Scripture. Right?
And apologetics. You have to show the historicity, how he really was the Son of God. It's not just a storybook. And once you see that it's historical and that it really did happen, the miracles, all that, you know, that's what threw Thomas Jefferson off, is because he didn't like the organized church because he saw how the monarchies in Europe misused the church to control people and controlled it. He confused that with Christianity. And so he took out all the miracles out of the New Testament and the version he wrote for the Indians here in America. And I think that's where he got off track, is that he didn't understand that there was a historical Jesus who really was God. Mm. And he didn't like organized religion, so he blamed it on them for making it up.
Wow.
And we've got scholars here that do such a great job of showing how there's more proof for what Jesus did than almost any other ruler in history.